Amen. It's good to be here in God's house. Glad to see all of you here. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 this evening as we continue our studies through the book of 1 Corinthians. Glad to have all of you here. Good to have visitors in the house of God with us. Thank you, Pastor, for coming and visiting with us on your vacation time. Thank you, folks, for being with us tonight as well. Good to see all of you here and good to be home. I went up to Missouri to see my grandchildren for a week and got back Monday, and I tell you, I enjoyed it while I was there, but it was good to be home and be back here in the house of God this evening with my church and the church family. And so glad that we could be here tonight. Had good crowds in the Bible clubs, it looks like, and we're glad for that. And looking forward to what God would have for us this Sunday evening, Sunday morning, Sunday evening at church here. Do not forget the men's retreat. If you would like to go, we're leaving here Friday at 11 o'clock. Friday at 11 o'clock, we'll be going up to Venture Faith in Georgia, and we'll be coming back Saturday, 18 years and older. If you'd like to go to that, there's already five that signed up. But if you would like to go and didn't let me know, Brother Keith told me that we could bring some more. Keep that in mind. Pray about it. We'd love to have as many go as possible, and then we'll be going again to the other one over near Tampa in April. There, don't forget, and those dates in April are the 11th and 12th, the men's advancement, 11th and 12th. There will be Brother Jason Gaddis from he pastors Southwest Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. He'll be the main speaker there, and that will be at Westgate Baptist Church on April the 11th and 12th, and on March the 1st, the Wild Game Dinner up at Starlight Baptist Church, and the flyer will be on this bulletin board. If you'd like to go to that, the information is there. Some of you have been in the past. I usually have close to at least 800 men there, boys. Good time there. If you'd like to, that kind of stuff, it's available. Make yourself available for that. And don't forget the 6K run in March to help the children's home, Central Florida Children's Home. That flyer is over there as well. I know a lot of information I just threw at you, but we'll keep it in front of you. The main thing is Friday. If you'd like to go to the men's retreat this Friday with us, there's five of us going this time. And we'd love to have all of you go that is open and available to that. 1 Corinthians 13. This evening, 1 Corinthians 13. And we'll continue going right through the book of 1 Corinthians, verse by verse. We're going to read the whole chapter tonight. There's only 13 verses. But we'll probably only cover verses 1 through 3 tonight this evening. Remember, as we started chapter 12, I told you chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14 kind of deal with the same type of problems that was going on in the church at Corinth, and that was spiritual gift abuse, and mainly as we get over into these chapters, you had, I tell you, if the modern day tongues and faith healing movement would just read chapters 12, 13, and 14, they'd realize it's way off base with what they're doing. But these chapters kind of gel together and go together, and it just presents a devastating broadside attack toward this modern tongues movement. And it's Bible. And that's what we need. We need more of the Bible. The Bible is what's going to help us day by day, week by week, year by year, grow more like Jesus. And that should be our goal. We've been predestined to be conformed to His image. A lot of people get scared of that predestined thing, and they get thrown off because they somebody told them one time, or they heard some or read some, that, hey, some are going to heaven, some are not going to heaven, and it just that's not so. The grace of God is appeared to all men. Whosoever believeth shall be saved. But once we are saved, it is God's ordained will that we be more like Jesus. More like Jesus. And the only way to do that is have more of the Word. More of the Word. So 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Verse 8, charity never faileth. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Verses 1 through 3 will be our main conversation focus tonight in the preaching of the Word of God. And I want you to understand something, that when we talk about charity, we speak of love. There's four basic types of love that I would like for you to grasp and to understand. First, when we say love or charity, we speak of that. We speak of it kind of a love of mankind. The love of, you know, people love to go hunting. People love to go fishing. People love to go quilting and go shopping for the life of me. I have not yet understand why anybody in their right mind would want to get up at 4, 3 in the morning on Black Friday and go shopping. But some people love it. And that's a type of love that we speak of, you know. Then there's the love for brethren. Our family. I mean, it's just like a natural thing that God has put into us. Brothers and sisters can fight like cats and dogs. I know sometimes our house turns upside down with some arguments and things of that nature. And the next day, they're out. I mean, not even the next day. In just a few minutes, when it's all settled, they're out there playing ball or chasing each other. You know, and that's just that brotherly love there that's there. And then we have what is love between friends. And I tell you, that's a good love. That's a thing that has to grow. It is something that is developed. And then there's that love that how God loves us. Like John 3:16 talks about. How God loves us. And when we become a child of God, there needs to be a desire within us, because it's put there. The Holy Ghost of God's put in. And that's what gives us that love of God. That we should grow that type of love. Not this fuddy-duddy stuff, this sensual stuff that they have today. There's a lot of that going on. And I'm not one that goes back and digs off into the Greek, into the Hebrew, the Aramaic. But there's a Greek word, eros, that was used in that modern day that you'll not find translated and used in the Word of God. Because it was sensual. It was not placed in there on purpose. Amen. And today, little kids, 12 years old. Oh, did you see John come off the field? Man alive, he scored 12 goals in the soccer game. I'm just in love with him. 12 years old, the only thing you need to be loving is daddy, young girl. Young man, the only thing you need to be in love with is some dirt, a fishing pole, and some catfish. I'm in love with it. Oh, she's got my heart. Really? As soon as the next little Shirley Temple walks by, your heart is gone. Listen, that's why the Bible didn't use it. We need to grow a love. Listen, it is nothing wrong with you loving a hobby and enjoying it. There's nothing wrong with you, listen, enjoying a club of some sort. Like Brother Johnston, some of the folks here come, they're part of an airboat club, and they put a lot into it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, some of you are involved with sports and some other clubs, and you grow to love that, but not in the same way that God loved us. Amen. Not in the same way. And listen, hey, you need to learn to love your mother and father, your brother and sister, your family. There needs to be some love there. There needs to be some friendship love. I know what would do away with a whole bunch of this dating that goes on that just runs the hearts of young men and young girls is that if we just loved each other as friends. Amen. Just be friends. Amen. The other day I found a quote just blew my mind about dating. Should be our philosophy. Run as fast as you can toward God, and if somebody keeps up with you, you just lean over and introduce yourself. Hey, how are you doing? I'm Lane. What's your name? I'm Kim. Let's just keep running toward God. Let God put it together. I'm in love with this one. I'm in love with that one, and that's your heart. That one has a piece. That one, he has another piece. That one has another piece. Then when God finally puts you together with one you had to have, y'all so busy mending the pieces, no wonder you fight over the cost of cheese. God help, when I got married and my wife and I was in love, I didn't care about cheese, I just cared about her. That love. And then we stop at that. You know where we need to go? We need to be headed towards the love like God loved us. Amen. And that's what 1 Corinthians 13:1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is talking about. That's what it's talking about right there. We need to find that place where we can get to the point and understand that needs to be a preeminence of love. There has to be a preeminence of love. Now look here. There's seven things that are listed here in verses 1 through 3. Seven things that love should take precedence over. There should be a preference for love over these things. Number one, you find there in verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. See, I've got to be able to speak in tongues. The Bible says there, if I can speak in tongues of men and angels, there's got to be an unknown tongue. No, dear friend, this is talking about elegance. This is talking about being enticing with your words. Being able to speak that you could even confound angels and confound men. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, have not that love of God, have not that love that which God loved me and gave Himself for me, I am become a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. I'm not quite sure who put this together or even said it. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I will give credit to Brother Sam S.M. Davis, who used to pastor out in Oklahoma City. But he said this, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Now, if he didn't say that, I gave him credit for it, and whoever said it, I hope they don't get me for plagiarism. But listen, we can say big words, and we can talk big game, and you know, it's so sad that sometimes we pray and say things with our lips and our, and we pray to a holy and righteous God that our own heart don't even believe in. We just say it so we can impress folks. You know what happens when we do that? We become nothing but noise. Have you ever had a headache coming on? I mean, it was just coming on. You could feel it. I mean, it was there, or it was running up right over there, and you could feel it. And everything in the background, just it just made it worse. Sometimes with all of our eloquent speaking, all the big words we throw out, without love, just nothing but noise. I don't know about you, dear friend, but I don't want to talk to God and just be noise. I don't want to talk to my friend who I should love. I don't talk to my family who I should love and just be noise. You know, do us some good to stop. My people are talking to us and look them in the eye. Let them know that they're not noise. Because you know, if you start looking off, not intentionally, you just, your mind, I know, listen, we're a busy world, especially ladies. I don't know how in the world ladies do it. I'm a one-track person. I got a job, I got to get it done, I'll move to the next one. Not ladies. That's why in their purse, there's 50 million items in their purse. Because they've got to do it. They're doing it. Calculators, computers, iPads, makeup, Band-Aids, ice packs, graham crackers. They just keep pulling. But I'm telling you something, friend. When people are talking to you and you're talking to them, and we are the receiver of the communication, and we're not interested, what we're telling them is what they're saying is just noise. And it may be real important to them. It may be real important to them. And we need to treat them like we desire to be treated. Stop and listen. Stop and listen. So, elegance. Love should overcome anything that we could ever say. Because if I just speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy. Church, you need to pray for me. I can get into the Word of God. I can dissect the Word of God. I can digest it and eat it, and I should as the man of God. It's my responsibility to get in here and to digest and eat and lay out and open up the bread of life so that you may also be able to eat. But if I get to the point where it's only how I present and have not love, love for the bus kids, love for our Sunday school teachers who work with the little kids. Love for our deacons who pray and work and labor together. If I am only interested in the prophecy that I can present, dear friend, and all I have is prophecy, love should have preference over prophecy. We can quote verses and quote verses and quote verses to people. And church, I'm going to tell you, we can't have enough Bible. We cannot have enough Bible. But you know what to get people to listen to us? Just love them. Love them. That'll open up that ear, open up that their heart, and they'll be able to receive that word. Prophecy. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Oh, let me tell you what I've learned. Look at what I've got, Romans. I've got something here. Pastor, can we talk? No, I don't have time, Romans. I've got something. We get that away, don't we? We figured, listen, there's nothing new on this, son. Church, can I give you a disclaimer here before I go on pastoring anymore? If I go somewhere and somebody's preaching a message that really touches my heart, I'm writing it down. I'm bringing it back. I'm studying it. And I'm going to preach it again down the road when God leads me. Preacher, there's something wrong with that. Really? Then I'd be wrong preaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, because somebody else already preached it. I'm not talking about taking somebody's message and just say, well, I'm going to memorize this. But I have a God that's big enough, if I hear a message in Seattle, Washington, hey, He's big enough to take that same message and touch somebody's heart right here in Orlando, Florida. I have all mystery and all prophecy. What's the next one say? And all knowledge. You know what should have preference over knowledge? Love. Love. Let me encourage you. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God never once gave us an excuse to be ignorant of Scripture. Not one excuse. But if I gain all this knowledge, understand all this mystery, can prophesy all this without love. Without love. It's like the man trying to gain the whole world, losing his soul, isn't it? Sometimes we get all we can and we can't. That's not how God meant for it to be, Sister Barbara. When we learn, we're to share. We're to offer what God has given us and share that little nugget. Let's go on. Here's another one. And they'll have all faith. Now, no, I'm not sure that this is not... Listen, you've got to have faith to be saved. Without faith, you're not going to get saved. But I think this is the faith to do some great things. This is faith to fight the fight that we're in. This is faith to come to church on Wednesday night on the tide. This is faith. Share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with somebody else when you're scared to death. I don't know about you. It don't come natural to me to just start talking to somebody about eternity. Though it's my responsibility. Not only mine. 1 Corinthians 1:8. Everybody that's saved shall be a witness. I have faith. The Bible talks about moving mountains. I'm telling you, when somebody gets saved, that's like moving a mountain. That's like moving a mountain. I have faith. If I can move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So, eloquent words should come below love. Prophecy should come below love. Mysteries should come below love. Knowledge should come below love. Faith to move mountains should come below love. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, Americans are the most giving people in the entire world. And sometimes we give just to ease conscience, not because of the love of God. I give, listen, I gather up everything and I put it inside a barrel and I take it down to the Goodwill and I sell it and I take that money and I go down there and I give all that to the homeless. And I do it just because I can say, guess what I did? I bestowed all everything I had. Now I'm homeless. We met a young man who used to come to church last night. He used to come here. Well, we saw him last night, and my wife asked him, so, well, what you going to be doing? And he said, well, I guess I'm just going to wind up being homeless. He was joking. But listen, we can give everything till me and my family is living on the streets, homeless, without love, and absolutely nothing. And this last one, I can't understand, church. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. Isn't that amazing? These seven items, these seven things, God says, hey, love. Not just an everyday love for mankind, an everyday love for a deep love for my family, not a friendship love, but a love for God. A love like God loves should come before all of these. Five things we know. Five things that the Bible teaches us about love. Number one, we speak the truth in love. We speak the truth in love. You know, sometimes we can be so dead set against everything and not speak the truth in love. And all we do is hurt and destroy relationships. Truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Why would you do that? Because Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we're to speak the truth in love. Number two, we're taught to love one another. You know that you pass from death and life because you love the brother. Church, if it ever gets to the point where you just, it bugs you to death to come to the house of God because brother so-and-so's there. Sister so-and-so's going to show up and you know she's going to be high and haughty. Got problems. We're taught to love one another. Amen. You know, we got to remember how God loves us when we're high and haughty. Because we've been there quite often if we just count back and count later days. So, we're taught to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brethren love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Number three, we have absolutely no excuse on knowing how to love, because God has taught us to love on how and on the basis of how He loved us by sending His Son. For God so loved the world. We've been taught by the very best on how to love. We have been taught. Okay? We've been commanded to love. We've been taught. We've been commanded. Flip over to John 13. Hope I will be right back to 1 Corinthians. John 13. John chapter 13, verse number 34. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Listen to the next verse, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. We've been commanded, church. We've been commanded to love that crackhead down there in Pine Hills selling dope. We've been commanded to love that evolutionist who believes that God doesn't exist. We've been commanded to love that drunk on the corner. We've been commanded to love that one that abuses his wife and children. We've been commanded to love one another when we're private. Why? By this shall all men know. You want to turn the world upside down, church? Follow these simple commandments in the Bible. Last one. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost of God, according to Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the Bible teaches us five simple things about love. Verses 1 through 3 in 1 Corinthians, it gave seven things that love should be above. Not that these don't matter, because this is the other side of the coin. Well, I'm just going to love everybody. Speak the love and truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Be holy, for I am holy. Nowhere did he say, be ye happy because I'm happy. That's what everybody wants. You know where happiness will come? By being holy. Joy. Joy. Okay? Those seven things are not just done away with, but love. Love. And then other seven things. And then these five things that I went over. We're to speak the love, truth and love. We are taught to love one another. God has taught us Himself how to love. According to 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. We've been commanded by God in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. The Holy Ghost of God lives inside of us, church. We can love. What caused God to send His only begotten Son to this earth? To die on the cross of Calvary. For God so loved. So love for mankind is important. Love for my family is important. Love for friends, much important. That's what we're made of, church, friends. Friends in Christ, brothers in Christ. But what we have to strive for is the love like God loves. Let's stand our feet.